الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, we've been given glad tidings. What are those glad tidings? On the Day of Judgment, you can be blessed with the opportunity to shake the blessed, noble hand of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how can you achieve this blessing? How can you obtain and acquire this blessing? The following hadith tells us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites salat upon me 50 times a day, صَافَحْتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I will shake his hand on the Day of Judgment. Now just think for a moment. This is that blessed hand, that noble, special, nurani hand, which the Sahaba described as being softer than silk. They had the honor of touching that blessed hand. And those very hands, when the Prophet ﷺ would raise them, Allah Ta'ala would accept the dua straight away. Those special hands, blessed hands. If me and you want our sinful, lowly hands to be honored in this manner, then how do we achieve this? Recite salawat 50 times a day. Not 5,000 times, 50 times. Someone might say, oh, I can't find the time. But if you spend 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, subhanallah, you'll be able to recite salawat ala nabi abundantly. A number of times, hundreds of times, inshallah. We need to prioritize. We need to keep our eye on the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us divine help in this regard. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this short bayan, I will discuss a few accounts and the intention behind discussing these accounts is to wake us up. You might say we're already awake. The truth is, we are knee-deep in negligence, ghafla, heedlessness. This dunya that we live in always entraps us. And the Prophet ﷺ spoke about this all those centuries ago when he said, I don't fear that my ummah will fall into shirk. I don't fear this. Meaning, they will not fall into shirk on a mass scale. The ummah will be protected. It will always be on tawheed. But what I do fear is that the dunya will overwhelm the ummah. What does this mean? Wealth will become abundant. Luxuries will become abundant. Riches will be everywhere. And this is a massive test. If a person uses those blessings to strengthen his deen, his faith, his iman, alhamdulillah. But we see in majority of cases that people who are trialed in this way, they fall short. They are negligent. They are not able to offer their salah on time even. If they even offer salah, they are not able to fulfill the faraid of the deen. So that was a test for them. And they failed it. But there's always a chance as long as a person is breathing, a person can rectify themselves. So inshallah, listen to this account with the intention of rectifying oneself. The great Prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. He was once given a command, a hukum by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala said, O Ibrahim, go pack your provisions and go forth in the land and witness the wonders of our power. Allah ta'ala instructed him to set out on this journey. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam acted upon the command, packed his belongings, set off on a journey. And as he traveled, he reached near the seashore. There he saw a slave herding some goats. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, O slave, do you have any water or milk? The slave replied, Yes, I will provide whatever you ask for. So Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam said, Give me some water then. This slave took his staff, his asa, his stick, went a bit forward, recited something, and struck a rock with the stick. When he struck the rock with his stick, what happened? Subhanallah, water began to gush forth. There was a spring that appeared. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam sees this scene and he's surprised, he's astonished. The water is given to him. He drinks the water. And the slave says, "That are you amazed by this? What you just saw?" And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam replies and says, "Yes, of course." Meaning this is not something ordinary. It's extraordinary. You don't see that every day. A person going to a rock, smacking the rock with his stick, hitting the rock with the stick, and all of a sudden water gush forth. This is not something you see every day. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Yes, I am amazed. The slave said, I'll tell you the secret behind this. I'll tell you how I achieved this. The slave doesn't know that this person in front of him is Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah. He says that there is a great prophet amongst us who is an intimate friend of Allah, a close friend of Allah, Khalilullah. And he has such an exalted rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whenever I make dua for something and I use the wasila, the means of that great prophet Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala accepts my dua immediately, instantly. And he says, this is what I did this time as well. When I struck the rock with my staff, with my stick, I made dua to Allah using the wasila of this great prophet, this Khalilullah, and you saw what you saw. The water gushed forth from the rock. Now, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, O slave, I am the same prophet that you are referring to. I am Khalilullah. I am Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, hearing this, the slave became overjoyed, mixed with feelings of joy and surprise. He asked, Are you really Khalilullah? Meaning the person whose wasila I've been using to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, Yes, I am. When he said this, as soon as he heard this, the slave fell unconscious and breathed his last at that very moment. It's narrated that a light descended from the sky at that time and enveloped the body of that fortunate slave. When the light receded, it could not be determined whether his body was taken up to the sky or buried in the earth. What happened next? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam continues his journey, and as he walked, he reached a mountain where there was a house with two doors. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam entered and found a bier inside. A bier means a place upon which a deceased body is placed. And the body was there. The body was on top of this bier. 70 fine garments were placed over it, and a tablet was placed near its head. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam read that tablet. What was inscribed on that tablet? It said the following. I am Shaddad bin Aad. I lived for 1,000 years. I defeated 1,000 armies. I built the city of Iram. But alas, when the time of my death came, all my strategies failed. Listen to this carefully. He says, I gathered physicians from all over the world in my palace, but none of them could avert death. None of them could prevent death. Therefore, whoever sees me should not be deceived by the world. And he says, O people, keep the doors of the world narrow for yourselves. You do not possess the kingdom that I possessed. You will not live as long as I lived. You will not accumulate as much as I accumulated. Pay heed, the world is deceptive. It is a killer. It forever eludes those who yearn for it. Upon witnessing this, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam returned. Now this whole story that you just heard, which had two parts to it. The first part, where Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam met a slave, asked for some water. The slave showed a miracle when he struck a rock with his stick, and water gushed forth Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam expressed amazement, and he was told that the secret behind this is that whenever the slave makes dua, he uses the wasila of Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. What do we learn from this? That using wasila, using a means and a medium in your dua, is an ancient practice, an age-old practice. This is a practice that is not specific to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we're told, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wabtaghu ilayhi al-wasila. O believers, fear Allah and seek a means towards Him. But even in the ummah of Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, people were using this great Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah, who in terms of rank is the second greatest Prophet of all. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all prophets and messengers, the best of all creation. And thereafter you have Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is second in rank. In his time, people would use him as a wasila, and their du'as would be swiftly and readily accepted as well. Now, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam himself instructed a companion to use him, meaning the Prophet alayhi salam, as a wasila? Let me mention that narration to you. The companions alayhim ridwan narrate, they say, once we were sitting and a blind companion who had lost his eyesight, he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, make dua to Allah that He restores my eyesight. What do we learn from this particular act, that asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make dua? Do the believers not think that their du'as are heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course we do. Even this companion who came knows that Allah hears the du'as. But why did he specifically ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make du'a for him? We learn that the aqeedah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'a has greater, million times greater chance of being accepted than our du'as. Why? Because he is the most pious in all of creation. He is the beloved of Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ makes dua for someone, that dua will not be rejected. So this companion told us that aqidah. He asked the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, pray for me. Ask Allah to restore my eyesight. The Prophet ﷺ told him, that instructed him. He said, go away. Do wudu in a complete manner, in the best manner possible. Offer 2 raka'at, salah, nafal. Upon completing it, make dua to Allah wholeheartedly and include the following dua. What dua did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teach that companion who had lost his eyesight? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him to recite the following dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka bi nabiyyika Muhammadin nabiyyir rahma. O Allah, I ask you and I turn to you through the means of your prophet, the prophet of rahma. Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the prophet of mercy. And the dua continues. Ya Muhammad. The words of the hadith, Ya Muhammad, the latter scholars have written that when we make this dua, we should say, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, Inni tawajjahtu bika ila Rabbi fi hajati hadhihi lituqda li. Allahumma fashaffi'hu fiya. O Messenger of Allah, I turn using you as a wasila towards my Lord, in regards to this matter of mine, this difficulty of mine, that it be resolved, that it be fulfilled the way I want it to be fulfilled. O Allah, accept the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on my behalf. Allahumma fashaffi'hu fiyya. This dua was taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. So this is an answer to all who mistaken this aqeedah, or they misunderstand this aqeedah, and they're quick to say that no, you shouldn't use a wasila in your dua, you shouldn't mention anyone else in your dua. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, this is a hadith in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself taught this companion, make dua, use me as a wasila in the court of Allah. Now this companion, what did he do? He went away. He did his wudu in a perfect manner. He recited 2 rak'at nawafil. And then he made dua in the court of Allah just as he was instructed. He made dua in this very way. Allahumma inni as'aluka wa atawajjahu ilayka until the end. The companion said that he came and he was blind. He had lost his eyesight. But when he had done what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to do, and he returned, كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِهِ ضَرٌّ قَطُّ, it was as if he had no issue with his eyes whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala had restored his eyesight. So today, even when we make dua, we're sinful. We're not saying sinful people's duas cannot be accepted. That's not the message that is being conveyed here. But what we're saying is that greater chance of acceptance lies in using the wasila of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our du'as as well. But oh Allah, for the sake of the rank that you have granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the sake of your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grant us our du'as. Inshallah, you will see the wonders of that. In fact, scholars throughout the ages have even mentioned that. So for example, one great scholar of the past has said that whenever you face any difficulty, any hardship, whenever you have any problems financially, any health problems, Sayyiduna Mujiruddin al-Hanbali, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned that you should make this dua, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you your dua as well. So scholars throughout the ages have mentioned that we should make dua using the wasila. Now the second part of this story is that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam went towards a mountain, he saw 2 doors, he entered those doors and he saw a dead body lying there. Next to the dead body there was a tablet, and we read what was inscripted, written on that tablet. The overview is that Shaddad bin Aad, who lived for 1,000 years, defeated 1,000 armies, he left this before he died, this written inscription. He said that I lived for 1,000 years, I defeated 1,000 armies, I accumulated so much. I had palaces, I had everything. But when I fell ill, none of that benefited me at all. My money, my conquests, everything I had, the wealth and the riches, the status, none of that could avert death. And then he leaves the remarks, he says that, O people of the dunya, do not be deceived. You won't live as long as me. Shaddad bin Aad said, you won't earn as much as me. You won't accumulate as much as me. But this dunya will pull you in, this dunya will deceive you, and will make you forget about your real goal. So today, when we ponder, we look in our communities, this is what we see. We see people competing. We see people not realizing the temporary nature of this life, how you can go at any time. You're not told when you're going to go. You're not guaranteed 60, 70, 80 years. And we hear daily about young deaths on the rise as well. So with this in mind, we need to remove these veils of negligence and ghafla and heedlessness. The Quran tells us, Al-haakumut takathur, that gathering and hoarding wealth, this kept you heedless until you saw the graves. Meaning until you entered your graves. And then it was too late. So a wise person is he who realizes by observing others. He sees others. He sees the mistakes that others make, and he makes a promise to himself that I'm not going to make the same mistake. And that's how he saves himself. That's how he navigates his way throughout life. What happens? Today, competition. People boast about their wealth, boast about their children. And this has always been the case as well. Tafakhur, the Quran mentions, Tafakhurun baynakum, wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. People boast amongst each other. They also mention their riches, their abundance of awlad and offspring and riches as well. This is the nature of insan. But a truly blessed individual is he who realizes that this is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know through the seerah that once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saw that he had marks on his back from the hard surface of the bedding. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an began to cry. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the messenger for all mankind. You have such a lofty and exalted rank. The kings of Rome and Persia are sleeping on fine bedding, mattresses, in ease and luxury, living lavish lifestyles, and I see you in this state." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled his companion and guided his companion to the real goal in life. He said, "Look, O Umar, they've got this in the dunya, but there's nothing for them in the akhirah. And we, if we don't have it here, we are most definitely going to get it in the akhirah. And this is what we should work towards." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Prophet who could have lived a lavish lifestyle. He could have lived in comfort and luxury. Do we not know about the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given an option to live as a king prophet, a prophet who lives lavishly in luxury as a king, and he declined, he rejected. He wanted to be a humble prophet in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about how he was given the option of mountains of gold walking alongside him. He said, "Lo shittu lasarat ma'iya jibalu dhahab." If I wanted, mountains of gold would walk, travel alongside me. The Prophet ﷺ didn't choose that. So this faqr, this outward poverty that you see, it was ikhtiyari. This is what the scholars of Islam have said. This was not something that the Prophet ﷺ was forced with. This was something that he chose. He lived like that. Otherwise, he could have had everything. So we need to learn from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And I go back to that hadith I mentioned right at the beginning, before I mentioned this account, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I do not fear that my ummah after me will fall into shirk. Some people today are quick to say, so-and-so is doing shirk, he's committed shirk, and they're quick to give fatwa, even though they're not qualified. Here, the greatest mufti, the greatest alim, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that I don't fear that people will fall into shirk after me. I don't fear that at all. But what I fear is that the dunya, and here the love of the dunya is intended, and the luxuries of the dunya, the riches of the dunya, will overwhelm my ummah. And when that happens, we see what is before us. Competition. And then for the sake of wealth and accumulating wealth, ma'azallah, people cross every single boundary. Unlawful killings, usurping land, people defrauding others, not giving any care in the world that they have to answer for this as well. That they answer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding this. So here, we need to be wise. We need to realize and we need to instill these core ideas into our children as well. That look, the dunya, whatever is destined will come to us. When you chase the dunya and you neglect the deen, you neglect your salah, tell me what good is that wealth for that millionaire or billionaire when he can't even do sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When he can't even give in charity, fulfill the obligation of zakat? He doesn't even have tawfiq to perform hajj when it's fard upon him. What good is that wealth? And we're told in hadith that people who are like this, people who neglect giving zakat when it's fard upon him, that same zakat, that same gold or wealth that they had, the gold, the jewelry, will be melted. They'll be punished with it. We're told about this. So, this is a reminder for one and all that we are here for a set number of years. Nothing's guaranteed. If only we are able to successfully decorate the pages of our lives with good deeds, righteous deeds, deeds that are beloved to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the pursuit of dunya, we neglect so many rights of people as well. People don't spend time with their children. People don't spend time with their family, their parents. And then they say, but I'm doing it for them. I'm earning for them. This is all for them, so that I can leave them something behind. They can live comfortably. But the thing is, if you have not done the correct tarbiyah of your children, what guarantee do you have that as soon as you die, they will even distribute their wealth properly according to Islamic Sharia, the laws of inheritance? What guarantee that do you have that that wealth, those assets that you leave behind, will not be used for unlawful things? If you had done the correct tarbiyah, if you spent time, if you put effort in, you've taught them about the rules of Islam and Sharia and how to be an upright Muslim, an ambassador in the community, then inshallah you can say that when I leave this wealth behind, my children will spend it in a way that they benefit me. I'll be under the ground, they'll be doing acts of sadaqah jariyah on my behalf, and I'll be benefiting. Alhamdulillah, that's the ideal scenario. But what we see in the community, how all the time news reaches us, that families, complete families, are involved in wrongful acts, defrauding others, illicit gains, unlawful earnings. The entire family has come together and they've said, let's just do this. Let's just accumulate what we can. So, dear brothers, as Muslims, we are here and we must live in accordance to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't live in accordance to our way. These phrases are mentioned, especially by youngsters. My rules, I can do what I like, my life. But remember, this life is an amana. This life is a trust given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll most definitely be asked about every single thing as well. What we did, how we earned wealth, where we spent wealth. These are things that will be asked. In a famous hadith, you will not be able to move your feet from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you answer these questions. Where did you earn your wealth? How did you spend your wealth? And then I finish with an account I recall, where towards the end of times, a husband will be put under so much pressure, whereby his wife, his children will taunt him and say, so-and-so lives like this. So if we look at examples in our communities, so-and-so lives in such an area, a posh area. So-and-so drives such a car. They've just done an extension. They wear these clothes. They travel here, there, and everywhere on holidays. What do you do for us? And then the husband, eventually he falls, insan. That's the nature of insan. Eventually he falls and he says, that's it, I'm going to have to do something now. My kids are always on my case. Wife's always on my case. And the hadith tells us that that person will now go to any length to fulfill their desires. Whether it's earning halal or haram, he won't think about it. All I need to do is make them happy. So remember, we have to be firm in our belief. This belief system that Islam has given us regarding resurrection, regarding accountability. Subhanallah, it's a great blessing. When we ponder about the Akhirah, we're prevented from so many sins. That should be the case. But it goes to show today that we are so enslaved to our nafs that we forget about all the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're willing to do anything for the mere wealth of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us a sound akal, sound mind, the ability to discern between right and wrong, to differentiate between right and wrong, and to act upon that as well. Only do what is right and to avoid evil at all costs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our coming generations from this as well. It's very difficult. Materialism is everywhere. Competition has always been there. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to instill these usul, these principles in our children, that whatever is destined for you, Allah will give it to you. You don't have to resort to haram. And in fact, you should never resort to haram to try and fulfill a worldly desire of yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah ta'ala make us upright, pious Muslims in the community, great ambassadors of Islam, people who represent Islam, and people because of whom others are interested in Islam as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.